of Sydney this morning. 1300 222 702 is the number this morning. Now, as we have discussed before, it is almost impossible to erase traces of your presence in cyberspace, whether it's your emails or your blog posts or your photos. But the federal government is apparently going to force every telephone company and internet service provider to keep all online data for up to 2 years. Now, for some time, there's been a pretty fierce debate about proposed changes to national security legislation. We talked with the Federal Police recently about this. Well, today, the Federal Attorney General Nicola Roxon is addressing, in fact, very shortly, day two of the Security in Government Conference in Canberra. She's expected to support this idea of 2 years of data retention on the basis that law enforcement agencies need it to target criminals effectively. But is that the answer to targeting criminals effectively? John Lawrence is the Executive Officer of Electronic Frontiers Australia, which is a non-profit organisation representing internet users, and joins us on the line this morning. John, thank you for your time today.
Hi, Linda.
What do you make of these proposals? The Attorney-General actually sort of shifting ground here, isn't she, to support retention of data for a couple of years?
Yeah, so it would appear, and that's obviously a concern. I think, I mean, the data retention proposal particularly, to the extent that we understand it, it's worth pointing out that in the discussion paper that was released, it warranted a single sentence. So there is no detail about what this proposal actually is. And I'd suggest that if, you know, ASIO and the Federal Police aren't actually able to articulate what they want, then, you know, we're in a pretty dangerous place. But what these data retention proposals tend to amount to is essentially mass surveillance of the entire population. And we don't see any legitimate reason for that to be occurring.
Now, when we spoke to the Federal Police a couple of weeks ago, and admittedly it wasn't exactly this issue, but on the question of getting access to data, they were, you know, emphatic that they understand that their responsibilities include not just surveilling the entire population for the sake of it.
That's what they're proposing.
And yet that's what they're proposing, it's what you say it is.
Yeah.
Well,
exactly. I mean, they have the ability to go after individuals and, you know, specific people. They go and get a warrant from a magistrate, and that's entirely appropriate. What's not appropriate is mass surveillance of the entire population here.
Why would it be in the interest of the Federal Police or ASIO or anyone to have mass surveillance? I mean, surely that's just a logistical nightmare to keep an eye on all that material.
Well, I think that's an entirely reasonable point, and it's not clear to us how this would actually make their lives easier. In many ways, they would be presented with an ocean of data that, you know, would potentially create more work for them than the sort of targeted surveillance they're able to do at the moment. So I think that case is far from made. As I said, you know, they haven't yet been able to articulate exactly what it is that they want. But if you think about, you know, they're talking here about, we assume they're talking about, you know, sophisticated organised crime, terrorist networks and so forth. These guys can get around this stuff. So really what you're doing here is you're scooping up everyone's data in order to catch kind of the low-hanging fruit, as it might be, or the little fish in the school. And if you read the discussion paper they've put out, they're actually pretty successful at that already. So we just don't see the need for this this sort of egregious breach of the entire nation's privacy and civil liberties.
John Lawrence is with us, Executive Officer of Electronic Frontiers Australia. Do you want the federal government to scrutinise your online activities in the interests of trying to capture a few more criminals? 1300 222 702 is the number. We know that with surveillance cameras that authorities are not able to keep up with the barrage of material that they get from cameras, so I can only imagine that the online environment is 10 times, 20 times worse.
And keep adding zeros for a while. And of course there are two other issues that brings up. One, of course, is cost. Storing massive oceans of data like this would require include significant costs. That's costs that would be passed on to consumers because the ISP game particularly is pretty low margin. That would dampen down competition in that sector as well and potentially drive some of the smaller players out. And there's also the massive issue of the security of that data, and we see almost daily breaches of security from all sorts of organisations, including government. And if we're advertising out there to every hacker and criminal in the world, look, every ISP in Australia's somewhere got this massive honeypot of data, go for it. The data is going to be compromised. There's just no doubt about that whatsoever. So there's some massive issues here, right from privacy right through to sort of security of the data and the cost. And, you know, if I was in the political slogan business, I might call this a great big new tax on data.
Someone might pick you up on that too. John, very good point. John Lawrence is with us from Electronic Frontiers Australia. What do you think about having this level of surveillance and this level of retention of material online? 1-300-222-702. Kim's on the line. Hi, Kim. What do you think?
Oh, thanks, Linda. Look, it's like every time you send an email or go onto a web page or do anything online, you send a copy of it to the AFP. Now, that's the way the old Soviet Union used to carry on with letters. You know, the post offices at the back were full of secret policemen reading every, steaming open the envelopes and reading them every night. And we laughed at them because they didn't trust their citizens. Now we're going to do the same thing. I mean, we faced down the Soviet Union without this need. Now we've got a bunch of, you know, half-assed terrorists out there. And we're going to compromise our freedoms in a way that we weren't prepared to do for a superpower to get a few drug pushers and terrorists who, quite frankly, seem to be on the run. It just strikes, I don't trust the bureaucracy. This data will be there, it will leak, and it's not the government's business to whether they trust us, and therefore they should be the deciders of what they keep on us or not. You know, we have our own rights, and you know, if we break them, then they go to, if we break the law, they should go to the courts and do targeted surveillance, but not everyone should be under suspicion.
Automatically considered a criminal. Thanks, Kim. Good points. I'm sure they're points you share, John. The other thing I wanted to ask you about, I mean, there's obviously a lot more at stake here in this review of the national security legislation. What are some of the other key elements that concern you?
Well, there are a number of things in there. There's a proposal that would give ASIO the ability to tamper with computers, and that includes adding files, potentially adding malware, deleting files and so forth, and that creates a whole series of issues in terms of safety of convictions and, you know, creating the situation where people can be framed. And as your caller just mentioned, you know, we don't necessarily trust these organisations, and there is historical evidence of corruption within ASIO, so... Mm-hmm. I mean, we need to be very careful about these things. There are other proposals that would give the Director General of ASIO the ability to essentially write a get-out-of-jail card for ASIO agents to commit crimes. And, you know, there's a whole range of really serious concerns here. And they're also wrapped up around a proposal to really lighten the record-keeping and oversight requirements that ASIO and the other agencies have to comply with. And so if you take it from a holistic perspective, it's a, you know, potentially a massive extension in surveillance and a reduction in oversight, and that can't be a good thing.
Just on you know, the net, I mean, one of the points we keep making as a security issue to, for example, our children is, you know, once it's up there, it's there forever, so, you know, be safe. But doesn't that also mean that, look, it's there anyway, if the authorities want to find something, they already can?
Look, I think a little bit of a conflation of two issues there. I think your statement about once it's up there, and that certainly applies to social media, but it doesn't apply to private email. Mm. It doesn't apply to private chat, and those things are part of the proposal will be wrapped up into this sort of mass surveillance process.
So currently we can choose those to be relatively private.
And many people choose not to use Facebook for exactly that reason. And that's their right. I choose to use Facebook. I'm fairly careful about what I do with my privacy settings because, you know, I'm aware of the trade-off that I'm making with that business about eroding some of my privacy for getting some benefit, and at the moment I think that's okay. But, you know, there are... And other people have said, oh, look, the ISPs are storing this data already. Some of them do store data. Some of them store data for 30 days. Mm. And they do that for billing purposes or for the proper operations of their business. But many don't. And requiring 2 years of data storage just creates enormous cost, enormous security risk, and an enormous invasion of the privacy of every resident of Australia.
Okay, we'll see what Nicola Roxon has to say when she speaks to the conference today. Thanks very much, John.
Thank
see you.
You
later. Bye-bye.
Okay.
John Lawrence is Executive Officer of the Electronic Frontiers Australia Group, which is a not-for-profit organisation that represents internet users. Phil's on the line. Hi, Phil. What do you think about this proposal?
I just think it becomes a resources issue that we have a finite amount of resources to, you know, to apprehend people who are doing the wrong thing or, you know, whatever, whether it be terrorism, drug pushing, and if you assign an amount of resources to looking after a notion of data, then it just diverted from really effective, ways of catching those people.
Okay, good point. Good point. So you can't do everything, and why would you be fishing around in this massive ocean of sloshing with yours and my emails?
Sure.
Interesting point. Thanks very much for that. 1-300-222-702 is the number. Coming up to 9 o'clock, a couple of your SMSs in just a moment.